I hesitate to say years, that God has led me in what some of you would call strange directions. Oh, wait a minute, she's not here, but my wife would say strange directions. Margaret, the title of this is Mission from God. As soon as you sit down. If you'll notice, I'm very thankful today to have a larger portion of my class than normal here today. They're sitting in the front row. And I guess I might as well tell you, the Blues Brothers had a lot to do with what I'm going to talk about today. But when we get into it, you'll see that I'm not doing a whole lot of talking, but God is. And that means that I don't care if you hear me at all, but you will hear God's voice today. You will hear his strength, and you will hear his power. And Rich, I've seen this already, because I'm one that believes in calling those things that aren't as though they are. Amen? Yes. Amen. Now, you got the title, and I'm going to tell you right now, we are on a mission from God back to God. That's exactly how it is. On a mission from God back to God. And have keys for many, I don't know what's going on. We had keys for many doors here today. We studied, I've been teaching the kids, my mission is these kids. I told them this morning, and I've been telling them for the last 2 or 3 weeks, if I don't get excited about what I'm teaching, if I don't get thrilled by what I'm teaching, if I don't get emotional about what I'm teaching, then I have failed them. Because the greatest teacher I ever had in school was in the 7th grade, and his name was Mr. Coyle. That's right, isn't it, Debbie? Mr. Coyle. And I'm going to confess something to you that my class already knows. I failed science in the 7th grade. Matter of fact, I'll tell you this. I'm so bright, 80% of my class failed that class. But, you know, you don't know why you're failing class. I know that most kids would not volunteer to go to summer school. Is that in agreement? Most kids would not volunteer to go to summer school. But that year, little did I know that God was in total control in the 7th grade and wanted me to meet Harry Coyle, right? That's his name. Of course, out of respect, I call him Mr. Coyle. But he was so enthused and so wrapped up with our lives that he made science for 4 hours a day for at least 4 weeks sound like it was the best thing on the face of the earth. He made it exciting. He made it challenging. And that's what, as adults, we're supposed to do with our children and our grandchildren and anyone we come in contact with when it's concerning the Lord Jesus Christ. If you don't get excited about him, you need to check out your salvation. Ooh. He didn't have to say that. Well, anyway. Yeah, he did. You're right. Yeah, he did. Anyway, I let the class choose. I take King James, and I'll take J.B. Phillips, and I'll take the Amplified, and I'll let the class choose what they like, because the Bible and King James say, study to show thyself approved, and I'll stop right there, because that's where I'm going first. Because, see, as a teacher, I've been taught to wait on the teacher, or the teaching, and that's the Holy Spirit. And I've also been taught to bring my water. Well, anyway, so I had them look up the word study. And sometimes adults, we fail this. Study simply means make an effort. Now, that to me sounds pretty simple. Make an effort. But I'm coming out of 2 Timothy, the 2nd chapter, the 15th verse, and listen what they like to hear. Yes, they do like to hear this. Study and be eager and do your utmost to present yourself to God approval. tested by trial, a workman who has no cause to be ashamed, correctly analyzing and accurately dividing, right handling and skillfully teaching the word of truth. Wow, what a mouthful. That's an awesome word. That is an awesome word. Otherwise, you know, they're not just going to take, and this I told them this morning, they're not going to take something sounds good. I worked with a guy for about 43 years. Actually, he was there 43 years. I only worked with him for 35. And here's what he said to me one day. He quoted a scripture today to me. And believe me, it was very hard not to react in a certain way. Do unto others as they do unto you. That's your favorite scripture. I don't know where you can find it at, but it's your favorite scripture. He said, that's scripture. And I said, I don't think that's scripture. And he said, well, what is it? I said, I think it's do unto others as you would have them do unto you. He goes, well, that's the same thing. And I go, I don't think so. I said, your version of it is do unto others as they do unto you is whatsoever they do to me, I'm going to do back to them. That's your version of it. God's version is whatever they do unto you, do what you would have them do unto you. Now, I tell my brother a lot. I get in a conversation with him quite a bit about why we love one another. I said, because you can't love those whom you do see. You sure don't love him who you don't. And I said, make an effort. All we have to do is make an effort. And I'm getting ready to read something to you. And I've already read it to you. But here's what I'm going to say to you. If we do this study, here's what we do. If we do this, God will do this. And he will do Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Now everybody knows Proverbs 3, 5, 6. Trust in the Lord with all thy heart. Lean not into thy own understanding, but in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he'll direct thy paths, right? Isn't that what it says? That's what the King James says. But we're not going to come out of the King James. And I don't know why this keeps on going in and out. Maybe it's me. But we're going to come out of the Amplified. Matter of fact, this whole thing is out of the Amplified today. Thank you, Oscar. Probably putting too much pressure on it. When I breathe, that happens. Chapter 3, listen what verse 5 says in Proverbs. Lean on, trust in, and be confident in the Lord with all your heart and mind, and do not rely on your own insight or understanding. Now, I'm going to ask you to raise your hands, because I'm sure there's none of you out there that ever does that. If you've ever done that, raise your hand. Afraid to raise your hand. All those that are afraid to raise your hand, raise your hand. I got two, so I might as well raise both of them. Okay. Now, when you did that, what you just said you did, when you did that, did you understand a lot? Did you ever think, well, I just can't get the mind of the Lord? Did you ever think, well, I don't know where I'm at, Rich. Huh? You know, I don't know what to do. I tell you what, every time you went into your own understanding, that's the conclusion you came to. What am I doing in this situation? How come this don't work out? I got news for you. As long as you're doing it up here, there ain't a whole lot going to work out. Lean not into your own understanding. But it turns around and says, but in all your ways acknowledge him. I use work as to get to do that. Acknowledge him. I had a guy not too long ago say to me, you know, the storms are coming, the storms are coming. I said, that's right, the storms are coming. It's sunny outside today. We think so much of doubt and storms in our lives that are down the road that we miss the sunshine today. I don't live my life in regret. I enjoy today. Today. Today's the day of salvation. I enjoy today. His present presence right now. I enjoy today. He's always with us. I told the kids I didn't know if I would ask them to do it or not. But I've been teaching them. And she said she's never done this before. What I've been teaching them is, how do you recognize God's presence? Well, I'm going to teach you what I teach them. I close my eyes. That's the reverence part, to immediately know, letting God know, I'm going to come to you. I know you're with me, but I'm coming to you. The next part is I raise my hands. Otherwise, I acknowledge you in all things, that you're in total control. I'm giving it all over to you. And then I start worshiping him. And you know what? Like I told him this morning, before long, you'll realize it's not you holding your hands up. That's the truth. Well, okay, here's the question. If we do this, then God will do this. Psalm 91, 1 and 2. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall remain stable. Hello. And fixed, and it does say fixed, under the shadow of the Almighty, whose power no foe can withstand. That alone ought to have us seeking God. That alone ought to know that, man, when we're in that place, we're in the arms of God, and nothing can pluck you out of his hands. We're in a place to where we can't be touched unless God wants us to be touched. You know that? Okay. I was thinking this as Mark was praying or talking about Junior. Here's my prayer for Junior. God, I ask that your will be done in his life, and all of us that remain be able to accept it. Yes. Got news for you. You got to grow up. Yes. The way we grow up is we confess he's in total control. My wife the other day, I knew, I was sitting there praying. Oscar was saying a few verses, then he went among the audience with the microphone. Well, she said, you would be the first one to volunteer. Sure, I'm the first one to volunteer. I'm more like Peter than most. By the way, just because he was Peter, he also denied him. That gun, I'd stab myself. Look out. But you know what? She was sitting there. I knew that the Lord wanted to speak to her through her, and they went around, and I think she was one of the last ones. And he said, okay, Debbie. I had my eyes closed when he did that, because actually I was laughing, sitting there, okay, gotcha. You know, don't give her the tape of this. Anyway, and she said, well, and I know she'd been praying, no, 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 no. But when God says yes, 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 we better change our no, no, no to yes, yes, yes. We better change, I don't think so, to I know so. We better get in line with what the Holy Spirit tells us to do. Now, did I or did I not? You'll have to shake your head or say yes, and I can't hear you, and I know they can't hear you. Tell you this morning that if you go against God and what he tells you to do, are you in trouble? What's that?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Well, parents, so are you.
All right.
That don't change because of their age. Ooh, yes, I know you're not there yet, but that's okay. If you're in my class, you're 12 years or older. All right? Is that right? What happened to Jesus when he was 12? He went into the, synagogue, and he began to teach. And they were gone a couple days off, and they came back, and they came to Jesus, and they said to Jesus, well, you know, what are you doing? He said, it's time. Parents, do you hear this? It's time for your children to be about his business. Now, I want to tell you something. As accountable adults and parents of these children, it's your responsibility to put them in a place where they can be accountable. And by the way, I told them something last week. I told them, I said, you tell your parents that, they're not going to like that. Well, I get to tell you this week, I could care less if you like it. I told them, if there's something, Tyler kind of liked, if there's something going on in your life and you desire it so much, if your parents believe it's God's will, that God's going to bless you, he's going to move you in it, they'll go to bed early Saturday night, they'll get up early on Sunday morning, and they'll get you into church if you desire it enough. One, two, three, four. Everybody know I got 9 kids in my class? Oh, you're picking on them. No, I want the Holy Ghost to convict them. Because I want to be on fire enough to where they desire to be with me than they desire to be in the bed. I want to be that teacher that motivates them to a greater purpose in life than to just get up. We got life here. I brought it with me, and I'm going to take it home with me. But I want them to take it home with them. I want them to burn so much that they, when they get with their parents, they go like, uh-oh, something's changed. And then, oh, this is good. This is for the better. Now, how many in here would want their kids to be for the better? If you did, don't. What kind of parent are you? God did something. He was the father of Jesus, and he did something for the better. And it worked out. We all got a good dose of it. Let me read this one more time. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall remain stable. It's hard for me to get past that. Because I see in life so many people that aren't stable. And they need fixing. And every once in a while I glance in the mirror and say, uh-oh, that needs fixing. Come on. Come on. If you don't admit the truth and want to choose to live in it, you'll never be free in it. You can't walk in truth unless you live in truth. I told him that this morning. I got like this. I said, be a walker and then a talker. People walk things. You ever seen that? I'm not going to ask you to raise your hands. You ever seen that in your own life? You ever didn't walk much, but you talked a lot? What's the old saying? He gave us one mouth and 2 ears. But, you know, that's these outward ears. I'll get there in just a minute. But listen what it says. The second verse says, I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God. On him I lean and rely, and in him I confidently trust. You ever had trust issues? Ooh, you didn't have to go there. I don't know how we learn to trust somebody else. And I'm talking about husband, wife, friend, boyfriend, girlfriend. I don't know how we learn to trust someone else until we learn to trust God. I don't know how that works. Because, see, God can run interference for you to where you know it's real or not. And the one thing I want to give these kids is a spirit of truth to where they know when somebody's lying to them. Okay, give me an example of that. Let's say a baseball coach wants your kid to play on his team. He builds him up, says, oh, man, I seen you play. He said, I know you're good. I know you're fast. You're good at this, good at that, good at this. And all that's true. What he doesn't tell your son is I have 4 other players and you're not going to get to play much. He did not lie to your son. Everything he told him was true. But he didn't tell him the complete truth. Can I say that's true? Didn't tell him the complete truth. Told him a partial truth. And many of you are sitting out there saying that's not right, but that's usually what happens. So we got to deal with reality. We got to deal with the fact that God wants us to be a discerner of the Spirit. He wants us to know, and not guess. He wants us to know that he's in total control. And the only way we can do that is by knowing his word, trusting him, having a relationship with him, and knowing that he's on the throne. Nothing catches him by surprise. You know, I went and visited Junior the other day, and what he said to me is, says, I'm ready. That did not catch me by surprise. And then when I raised my hands on him and he began to raise his hands up and praise the Lord, that did not catch me by surprise. And then when he opened his eyes and pointed at a picture of Jeanette and said, I love my wife, I miss her, that didn't catch me by surprise. And then when the next thing he spoke out of his mouth, I praise the Lord for it. I'm ready to go be with her. Now, people say, well, that's sad. Well, I got news for you. you need to think of what's sad, because that made God happy. What everything he said made God happy. He's ready. You ready? Mm-mm-mm. Don't say that. Now, children in the front row and every row to the back, be humble and be a sheep. My sheep know my voice and none other will they follow. This is what I'm teaching the kids. I don't want it just because it's a teacher in school to tell them a lie and them think it's the truth. I want them to have the Holy Spirit lying within them that witnesses what is true and what's not. If you don't say amen to those, you pretty well ain't with me. You don't want your kid to know and rightly design or discern the word of truth? You don't want them to know what is keeping free and set them free? Keep her and keep them free? Man, I want them to walk in freedom. Freedom of the Spirit. Freedom in the confidence to trust God and lean not to their own understanding. Now, parents, I also tell them not to lean unto yours, because it's a personal thing. Until they reach out and get personal with God, he doesn't get personal with them. Well, that's how it worked with me. Real short story. I told them this morning. Went and asked my mom to babysit. The kids were small. She said, okay. She said, can I ask you a question? I said, yeah. She said, where are you going? I said, to a movie. She said, okay. Okay. Why have I never stepped in a movie theater? Saying with mom, I know it was never a trick question. There was always a purpose behind it. Why have I never been in one? I don't know, mom. She said, well, then why do you feel the freedom to go? I said, because I don't have your conviction. You hear that, parents, grandparents? I don't have your conviction. But the moment the Holy Spirit convicts me, that'll be the last time I go into a movie theater. Right. This is the personal relationship they need to have with Jesus Christ. They don't need to have mom and dad's conviction or their grandpa's conviction. They need to have their own. So what are we saying? When Jesus was 12, Mary had to kind of let go. Oh, I'm not prepared for this. You better be prepared for it. Better to let go and let them live in the Spirit of God than for them to be taken from you. Don't go there. Don't go there. Anyway, in John, the 10th chapter and the 27th verse, it says, my sheep that are my own, I like that are my own, hear and are listening to my voice. Let me add this to you. They're making an effort to. Shut in with God in that secret place. That's an effort. When you make an effort, God shows up every time. Every time, every time, every time, every time. Am I the only parent in here that told my kids I'd do something and then didn't do it? Shame on you, Clyde. Am I the only one in here that's ever done that? We've all done it. Anything can happen to cause you to not be on time. I remember when Debbie was supposed to, oh, don't let her have this tape. I remember when Debbie was supposed to pick up Josh. We lived in Carthage. He was going to Walnut Hills. And an hour went by, 2 hours went by. You know, we're sitting there talking. Next thing I know, the door opens up, gets slammed shut. Thanks a lot, Mom. He walked from Walnut Hills. Now, don't let anything kid you. He would give his life for his mother. Of course, she would him too. But that didn't hurt their relationship. That just hurt his feet. And that humbled her a little that she would forget that. Do you hear what I'm saying to you today? I wanted to get into be here. Assemble yourselves. Oh, my goodness, I did do that. assemble yourselves. You know where the Bible says, forsake not the assembling of yourselves as you see the day of the Lord approaching? We must either not see it or we don't believe it. Because when we have dinner, there's 50 people here, and when we don't, there's 30. So I'm not talking to you. I'm talking to ones that ain't here. And you know what? Since I believe God's word don't return void, doesn't return void at all, at all, at all. That God's speaking to them. Remember the centurion? I believe that was a true story. Just send your word. God's word does not return void at all. Never will, never does. And when it goes out, you know what? What Jesus' blood did, it purchased mankind. It purchased it. Do you value that purchase? Because that's you. That's you and me. In Psalm 111, 1 through 3, it says, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I will praise and give thanks to the Lord with my whole heart in the council of the upright and in the congregation. That is why we assemble. We assemble to praise the Lord in the midst of the congregation. You know what the congregation is? It's a bunch of witnesses. It's a bunch of witnesses who actually sees whether you raise your hands or not, if they're in the back. Some people sit in the back so nobody can see you though. No offense to anybody that's in the back, especially this row over here. I really see you showing up today. But that's why we come together. We praise the Lord, hallelujah. I will praise and give thanks to the Lord with my whole heart in the council of the upright and in the congregation. The works of the Lord are great, sought out by all those who have delight in them. Have you made the effort to seek out the things that delight God? His work is honorable and glorious, and his righteousness endures forever. That's why I read 3. His righteousness endureth forever. I want to tell you something. Here's the secret. Nothing that you do will stop that from happening. His mercies are fresh and anew every day, and they endureth forever. And nothing that you do, and I'm talking about that you think, oh, I shouldn't have done that. Nothing that you do will ever stop that from happening. His mercy will be fresh and anew every day. Man, I thank God that they're fresh and anew every day. I don't know about you. You ever got a cup of water, left it set overnight, you drank on it, you drank on it. 2 days later, you went to drink on it again? Ugh. It just ain't that good. Let's put it this way. It's not refreshing. But you know what? We are supposed to be refreshing. We're supposed to be that which overflows and flows to people. In Acts 4:31-32, it says this. You ever ask God? You know, I don't know if most of you know it, but we used to pray a lot more than we do now. Oh, you got to be kidding. We really did. Matter of fact, when we used to go to camp, this we're talking about Sherry and Debbie's days, my days. When we used to go to camp, we not only had an evening service, we had a morning service. And after that morning service, I mean, we did have fun, but after that morning service, we had a class to go to. And I guarantee you the class probably started with prayer and ended with prayer. And this is after you already prayed twice that morning. Then if you went to breakfast, you prayed 5 times. That was the 5th time. And don't forget, when you went to bed, you were praying before you went to bed because you were in church. And then during the church, you were praying. That's 7 times. A lot of you pray 7 times a day. I don't know where it is, but I'm pretty sure that the scripture says pray without ceasing. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and really God knows how to do things and how to get us in the place to where we need to pray more. He can use sickness to have you pray a lot more. And trust him a whole lot more. And proclaim those things that aren't as though they are a whole lot more. I remember years ago, I got in a discussion with a lady before I read the scripture. I got in a discussion with a lady and I told her, I said, God would touch every one of your children and if it meant getting to touch you. Boy, she did not like that. She went in denial. She said, he would not. I said, well, you don't know God well enough. There's nothing beyond God. Nothing. Nothing. Knows every hair that's on our head and the ones that left our head. He knows them too. He knows everything. He would do whatever it takes to get your attention. I don't know about you, but I want him to have my attention when I acknowledge him in all these things. As I acknowledge him in all these things, he's doing all things well. Romans, Acts, the 4th chapter, 31st verse. And when they had prayed, the place in which they were assembled was shaken. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. And they continued to speak the word of God with freedom and boldness and courage. I asked the kids this morning, have you ever, you know, when we got a class of four and it's just me in there, and I'm pretty sure they don't feel nothing about my judgment because I don't judge. They feel free to express themselves. Parents, allow your kids to have freedom in your home and at home, and grandparents to express themselves. Expressing their self is a way of calling upon the Lord. And in their life, you might be the Lord. You might be the only God they ever see, they only speak to. Or at least the first time. Otherwise, please don't shut them out. Make a time. Take time. Let them be kids. But let them also be open to you to speak whatever is even bothering them. Hear what they're saying to you. Because I believe the God of the universe, the God of heaven and earth, would definitely give you direction and counsel to counsel those children. So, with freedom and boldness and courage, Now, the company of believers was of one heart and soul, and not one of them claimed that anything which he had possessed was exclusively his own. But everything he had was in common and for the use of all. Stay at home, you can't get that. You can't get any of that. You stay at home. Why do we assemble? We assemble for that. So we can be together in prayer, one in unity, one in desire, one in hearing of God's voice, one in making decisions. Have you ever made a decision? You go, I'm not sure if that was the right one. You ever done that? Oh, yeah, we've all done it. I can't believe I'm doing this. I wrote down here, in closing, I'm going to read exactly what I said. I have a true story to tell you. Have I got your attention yet? Well, as soon as I said that, the Holy Ghost come upon me and says, let him that hath an ear hear what the Spirit has to say. From now on, it's not me talking, even in the story. In March 7th, I don't know what year it was, just to know you how the Blues Brothers was on a mission and how we are on a mission. In March 7th, a few years ago, my brother, or if Pat was here, I said our brother, which... anyway, Chuck was having a heart attack. The Holy Ghost had me go there. I said, you're not going to die. That was not hope speaking that. I have to tell you that. That was not hope. That was not what would sound good to him, speaking that. But then the next word was, God has a mission for you. Little did I know that in June of the same year, that was going to have a quadruple bypass. My brother came to me and said, you're not going to die. God has a mission for you. I told you Blues Brothers. Well, in this case, it was Morgan Brothers. Well, we got it from the Blues Brothers, who got it through the Holy Spirit. If you do not have to hear the Spirit talking to you, you will not be on the mission God has for you. More than likely, your mission will be confusion, not going in the right direction, not knowing what to do, doubting, slowing down to a stop when he wants you to get into a run. This is how you will be. You'll be uncertain about everything. But God wants you to have a mission. And this is what he says. Today, by God's grace, I'm with you. Then he wrote down, what is your mission? Personally, your mission. God is clear. He is with you. Do not stand back. Go boldly. And of course, Star Trek came into my mind since I said that. Anyway, go boldly where he leads and glorify him always. Pray asking them, and this is what he told me. Pray, ask them. I'm going to ask you to come forth because God wants you to enter into his mission. His mission. So I'm going to ask you to stand up right now. And I'm going to ask you to be honest with you. I'm going to pray that the Holy Ghost let the blood flow from your head to your feet, throughout your heart and pump, and really, really, really feel better than you have in days. And let the soreness of your legs and of your feet just depart from you. And let those that need jaws fixed be fixed. And let those that need backs be healed. And let those who need diseases to be gone. And let us get into the atmosphere to where we believe God can do all things. Instead of acting like, well, I don't know, I asked the Lord and I'm not sure what he's doing. Well, I got news for you. When you ask the Lord and you're not sure what he's doing, it's because you're not trusting him for what he's doing. It said, praise me in all things. You know, all things mean even though you don't have the outcome you want. Do you know that? Well, I want to tell you something. He wants us to rejoice in that. He wants us to rejoice that he has all things in control. He does all things well. And I want to tell you something. He wants to set everyone in here on his own mission. You know, it's just not enough. And I've got to tell you this. It's just not enough that we come here to church and we gather. It's that I read a sign one time. It was I'm going to advertise, Nazarene Church in Springdale. And that sign said, as you were leaving the grounds, you have now entered the mission field. If I had one, I'd put it out in our own parking lot. But a lot of times our mission field's right here in our assembly. Right here in our assembly. Look around, think of the people that you know that aren't here. And you think, because Debbie's done a great work of trying to contact people and see where they're at and stuff like that. But let me ask you something. Not that you love me or anything, but if I wasn't here for 5 years, would any of you care? And I'm not asking that even for you to say anything. But I want you to care enough that if I'm not here 2 weeks, if I'm on vacation, I want you to get on the phone or whatever. What's happening? I want us to make contact. Otherwise, I don't want us to lose because of something stupid. I don't want us to lose members because of something stupid. Matter of fact, I would really like for us to have members. Oh, my goodness, that means we'd have to be obligated to one another, you know, and we'd have to do stuff with one another. And Sherry and Debbie, we'd have to maybe go to roller skating every once in a while. And only Clyde could only skate on one foot. And if you come on my right side, you were subject to get hit. But if you're on my left side, don't be close to me because I'm liable to fall down. But, you know, and then go to the park. By the way, we have our own park here. We have our own campsite here. We have our own fire pit here. We have everything we've ever prayed for when we were younger growing up. And the parents used to say, if we only had land. Well, we got almost 10 acres here. You know, and then one time at the other place, you used to say, man, I wish we had some parking. That's called a parking lot, by the way. And then sometimes, I mean, you know, you think I'm kidding you. I mean, you know, when you have a wedding at Wings down in Elmwood, you had to worry about whether the guy was going to call and have your car towed away because you were parking in his lot. Unless it was your daughter, and then he said, okay, take your time. That's what we experienced. Anyway, But I want to tell you something. God's got a mission for you. It's not a bad thing. It's a good thing. It's not a drag thing. It's a motivating thing. It's not a thing that you have to dread. It's a thing that you get to enjoy. His presence. His presence in your lives. Let's bow our heads just for a moment. Precious Heavenly Father, we come to you and you only. Holy Ghost, come upon us. Live in just, we invite you to live and flow through us and among us. That, Father, you do all things well. We don't know, Father, where we're to go or what we're to say, but, Father, you'll give us the utterance to speak and allow us the boldness and the courage of the Holy Ghost, Lord, to tell people that they're free. They're free because of what Jesus did for them, just like we're free right now. And, Father, let us be about the mission of Jesus Christ. That, Father, we can never do wrong by lifting Jesus Christ up. You said, if I be lifted up, that you draw all men unto you. Father, we want to know, Father, and Father, we expect you to add to the church daily, and we look forward to it. And Father, I come against people that would say, I don't want to get large. Father, enlarge us by the Holy Spirit. Lord, just move upon us, Lord. Father, we'll be moved out of the way, and you can have your way. Father, bless all those that are here today. Bless those that couldn't attend. And Father, we'll continue to give you the honor, the glory, in the precious name of Jesus. And they all said, amen. Amen. If anyone needs prayer, come forward. If not, have a great week. Thank God for the rain and no snow.